conduct your hearing.
That's mine.
Okay, that's the end of it. Mr. Neal will be conducting the hearing, so just hold on, sir. The end of Mr. David Neal will conduct your hearing in just a moment, sir.
Okay, good morning, sir. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, would you state your full name and ABC number for the record, please?
My name is Angel DeRozzo. My ABC number is 183934.
You're appearing for the order of the board regarding clemency this morning, sir, in reference to your committee supervision revocation.
Yes.
I'm going to introduce the board members that will conduct your hearing at this time. We have four members present this morning. We have the Honorable Neal Rittenhouse, the Honorable Dr. C.P. Wright, who is our board chairman, and the Honorable Louis Quinones. My name is David Neal, and I'll be the hearing lead this morning. Also in the room today, we have Mr. Turner from the Department of Corrections, and he'll also represent the parole office today. Well, prior to this hearing, you received a notification form advising you of this hearing. Do you remember that form, sir?
Yes, I have that.
Okay, on that form, among other things, you were notified of your right to appear to speak on your own behalf to obtain a license of attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, sir, or are you representing yourself today?
No, I did not hire an attorney. I have no communication with anybody out here.
Okay, this time I'm going to swear you and Mr. Turner in. So do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you out and be your sure, huh?
Yes.
I do.
Okay, sir, you're here to be conducted in two phases today. In phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of your committee supervision have been violated. And in phase two, we will determine whether your committee supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So what I'm going to do is, in phase one, I'm going to read the four allegations that are on your warrant, sir, and after each one, I'm going to ask you if they're true or false. So, allegation number one, violation of the regular condition of supervision number seven is demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about March 2nd, 2018, per the past individual testing compliance summary dated April 13, 2018. Now, true or false, sir?
That's true.
Okay, allegation number two, violation of the condition number seven is demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about March 7, 2018 per the past individual testing compliance summary dated April 13, 2018. Now, true or false, sir?
It's true.
Okay, allegation number three is violation of the condition of supervision number seven is demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about March 15, 2018 for the past individual testing compliance summary dated April 13, 2018. That's true or false, sir?
That's true.
Okay, allegation number four is violation of the Arizona condition of supervision number two. As demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report for a scheduled face-to-face contact visit at the Western Regional Parole Office located 801 South 16th Street, Suite Number 1, Phoenix, Arizona, on or about April 3rd, 2018. As verbally directed on March 20th, 2018, you were actively avoiding supervision. Is that true or false, sir?
That's false.
That's false?
Yes.
Okay. Since you said it's false, we're going to go to Mr. Turner for some more information, and then we'll talk about it, okay?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Mr. Turner?
Allegation number four. On 3/20/2018, the offender reported to Western Regional Parole Office for staffing. On that day, CCO Isabor verbally directed the offender to return for his next scheduled contact at the Western Regional Parole Office located at 801 South 16th Street, Suite 1, Phoenix, Arizona, 85034, on 4/3/2018. On 4/3/2018, the offender failed to report to direct the offender actively avoiding supervision. Follow-up, on 4/4/2018, P.O. Isabor went to the offender's residence and left a notice of non-compliance at the door directing the offender to report to the Western Regional Parole Office located 801 South 16th Street, Suite Number 1, Phoenix, Arizona, 85034, on 4/5/2018 by 9 a.m. On 4/5/2018, the offender failed to report as directed on 4/13/2018. This officer called the offender. The offender answered and was directed to report to the parole office on 4/16/2018 by 8 a.m. Offender agrees. On 4/16/2018, the offender called that he was getting on the bus and en route to the parole office. The offender failed to report to the parole office on 4/16/2018. This officer called the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office and spoke with the officer, badge number 85278, who confirmed that the offender was not in MCSO custody. Also, the Maricopa Medical Center confirmed that the offender was not registered there. Theo called the emergency contact, Betty Durazo, his mother, and was only able to leave a message directing the offender to report to the parole office.
Thank you, sir. So, Mr. Durazo, what's false about that?
I'm not sure which day, but every time I leave the parole office, he gives me a piece of paper with the next date on it. He wrote 5/3. Well, in April, I'm not sure which day, after April 3rd, he called me at work, which I answered, and he said he called me, he left a letter at my house. I asked him, well, who'd you leave it with? He said, I just left it in the mailbox. I know he didn't do any of that because there's always someone there. He called me, he told me that I got a report. I told him, I'm here at work. I told him, give me till tomorrow, the next day, so I can take care of my affairs with my family, let my job know I work two jobs, and let my family know that where I have to go. Well, he didn't like that. He hung up on me. Next day, I let my jobs know that whatever reason I don't show up to work, it's because I had to come deal with this. So next day I called my boss and told him, look, I do not want to be out here on the run. I need to take care of this. I left a message with his office number and his cell phone number. Nobody contacted me back. I waited a couple more days. My mother was on top of me about getting this taken care of. I called him again, left another message. I basically figured out he must have just written me off. I continued to work, take care of my business, stay out of trouble. I went from work to home, and when the marshals came and got me, right after work, they must have knew my schedule from my officer because they showed up right after work. I didn't give them no fuss. I didn't know what it was. I wasn't trying to play like or run away. I really knew I needed to go take care of this.
Okay. All right, I'm going to move this forward to the next phase, and we'll discuss that a little bit more, okay, sir?
Yeah.
Okay, well, based on the admissions of Mr. Durazo for allegation number 1, 2, and 3, and information from the Department of Corrections on allegation number 4, and all the information in the computer 18W1150, I'm going to move to find that Mr. Durazo was delinquent as he violated current condition of his supervision and that he may have lapsed or about to lapse in criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Kinnellis, and agreed by Ms. Rittenhouse and Dr. Wade. Okay, so we're going to move into phase two in a couple of minutes, but before we do, we're going to get some background information from Mr. Turner. So stay on the line, and I'll get back with you in a couple of minutes, okay?
Okay.
Mr. Turner?
Mr. Durazo was released from ADC custody on 2/21/2018 and arrested on 5/8/2018 by ADC Fugitive Apprehension Unit along with the Marshal Service. No new charges noted. He is returned back to DOC custody on 5/8/2018 with adjusted CSED of 10/26/2018 with 35 absconding days. Current conviction, 2014, flight from law vehicle, 2 years, 3 months. 2007, commitment E, count 1, misconduct involving weapons, 2 years, 6 months. 2007, commitment F, count 1, drug paraphernalia violation, 1 year. 2012, forgery, 2 years, 6 months. Prior convictions, 2003, commitment A, count 1, theft, 1 year. 2003, commitment B, count 1, theft means of transportation, 3 years, 6 months. 2007, misconduct involving weapons, 6 years. Since third term in ADC, he has a CUIR score of 4.4. Mental health score of 1, substance abuse score of 2. He is a suspected member of the New Mexico Mafia and self-admitted member of the criminal street gang Southside Finicera. Prior terms of supervision, 2006, TIS release, absconded for 34 days, arrested, reached CSED in custody. Disciplinary is significant and lengthy with drugs, assault of a weapon, and possession of contraband or communication device noted. Other arrest, 1999, armed robbery, Arizona juvenile detention. 2000, criminal damage, Arizona juvenile detention. 2000, unlawful use of means of transportation, Arizona juvenile detention. 2001, unlawful use of means of transportation, Arizona juvenile detention. 2001, misconduct involving weapons, Arizona juvenile detention. 2003, theft of means of transportation, Arizona juvenile probation. 2004, theft of means of transportation, Arizona juvenile detention. He has a GD score of G8V8.
Thank you, sir. Okay, Mr. Driver, we'll go over the summary of your case supervision. And it looks like on February 24, 2018, you were approved to reside in 6118 West Mitchell Drive in Phoenix, Arizona. Were you at that address the entire time, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you said you were working, so the information we have is that you were with ATCO Rubber Products at 4450 West Gibson Lane in Phoenix?
Yes.
Okay. You worked for them that whole time?
Yes, and then I quit for another job, which was Phoenix Modeling.
Okay. All right, so...
Thank you, God.
It looks like in February of 2018, you were referred to task random drug testing in the colored mint, and you failed to submit urine samples for testing as verbally directed on March 2nd, March 7th. On February 23rd and March 5th. So there was two of them that were your colors called, and apparently it was two that you were verbally told to do because of those missed ones.
Yeah. I also took a test at the office because I explained to them why I couldn't make it to the place where you take the drug test. So he said, okay, well, I'm going to do a drug test here for you and then come do it next time. So he did drug test there. He never said anything, so I'm pretty sure that came out positive. I mean negative, my fault, negative.
Okay,
My bad.
Our information doesn't...
Doesn't show none of that.
It doesn't show that. Well, I mean, the thing is, the issue is the four missed ones.
Right.
Well, you know,
the reason for the one is I live so far into a neighborhood that I don't even have a vehicle. Now, I do now, but when these drug tests would come up, and I explained them to why it's so hard for me to get, I live on the west side, why it's so hard for me to get to him on the east side is I didn't have a vehicle. I was getting rides when my time was to go visit him. I had to ask one of my coworkers if he could drop me off on that side of town. And I work with fiberglass, so I'm all dealing with fiberglass, and then I have to ride the bus home after I see him. And I explained it to him. I was like, hey, try to help me out. This is hard for me to get out here. And so that's when it's hard for me to get to the task place. Every time we go after work, I have fiberglass, and I'm trying to get home, and I got to get up at 3 o'clock just to get to work. But like I said, I didn't submit them. It was my fault. There's no excuse for it.
Okay. All right. On the issues we were talking about before, about the visits to the parole office.
Right.
Okay. Let me go back to this real quick. It says here that apparently. Okay, on the 13th of April, your appeal called you and talked to you and told you to come into the office on the 16th. Is that correct?
No, he told me to come in that day.
On the 13th?
Yes, and I told him I'm at work, and he told me that he left a note at my house And he's been trying to call me. I told him, you haven't been trying to call me because I'm at work and I'm answering the phone calls.
Okay, well...
We kind of got in a little heated argument, and that's why I think he hung up on me.
Okay, but according to this, on the 13th, apparently the summation of the conversation was a direction to be there on the 16th, and you agreed to that. But then on the 16th, you called that you're getting on the bus in to the pro office. I would imagine they did that because of the timing, and I can understand that. But you didn't show up.
Right. I didn't get any of the paperwork or the impoundment on the 16th, because he tried, because even a couple of days after the 3rd, or the 13th, because he told me to put a warrant out for my arrest already. On the 13th, when he called me at work, I told him, why did you do that?
Well,
I said,
the warrant stated the 18th, okay? All right, the warrant stated the 18th. The information we have is that on the 13th, there was a conversation between you and Bill.
Yes.
And according to Bill, you were told to come into the pro office on the 16th by 8 a.m. You agreed. And then on the 16th, you actually called and saying that you were getting on the bus and you were moved to the pro office. But you never got in the pro office. So, you know, I don't know if you got on the bus.
That part of the conversation is not true. I never told him I was getting on the bus and getting there.
Okay, well, but we still have to go on the information that
right.
we have, and even aside from allegation number 4, there's still quite a bit of others. So I'm going to see if my fellow workers have any questions at this time. No questions? Okay, so we're nearing the end of your hearing. We'll be doing a discussion of making this decision in a couple of minutes, but we want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement if you would like to before we do that. You welcome to give us any other information you think might be pertinent to our decision. We just ask that you don't repeat the information you've already given us.
Yeah, we do. I got 3 children at home. I provide for it. I do my best out there. I work. I still have my jobs. If you put me back out even on house arrest, I'll be able to prove to everybody and myself and my family that I can take care of all this. That's all I got to say. Thank you. The board.
Okay, thank you, sir. The board is going to go into discussion. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. You may think we're talking to you, but we won't be. We'll just be discussing the case and we made a decision. But stay on the phone. You can hear the whole conversation and decision.
Okay.
Once we've made a decision, I'll get back to you, okay?
Okay.
We're now in discussion. Mr. Durazo apparently was working, but he had difficulty getting to Brock and Dave. I don't know the locations of task and the open night, but he lives down for 35 days. I can't overlook that part. He apparently has some trouble understanding that the UAs and following directions of PO is tantamount to being able to stay out in the community. And he only has until October, which really isn't that far away. So I don't see Mr. Durazo as a good candidate for return to community supervision at this time, but I'm going to listen to any discussion from my fellow board members if there is any. Alright, so based on all the information in room 2018W1150, testimony of Mr. Durazo. In our discussion, I move to revoke the supervision of Mr. Durazo as a lieutenant of violating terms and conditions of supervision and had lapse or without lapse in criminal ways or company, specifically his 35 of scam days where we know not what he was doing. And that's my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Agreed. Motion by myself, seconded by Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed by Dr. Wright, and agreed by Mr. Canoes. Okay, Mr. Durazo, before those voted to revoke your community supervision at this time, however, you were interviewed with East Auburn about October 26, 2018, and unless there's something else in the works that we don't know about, you should be released in October. You wouldn't have to report back to DOC unless you get in trouble again. And we would hope that you don't. We wish you the best of luck in that direction, so that you can raise your kid. They, you know, you have children and a father. But so anyway, between now and maybe in October, when you're supposed to be released, I would suggest that you put together a good plan and know where you're going to go when you get out, so you don't have problems and end up back in DOC. Do you understand, sir?
Yeah.
Okay, we do wish you the best of luck in this one in your hearing, and would you put your CO3 back on the phone, please?
Yep.